closed captioned for the reality impaired. It's the Jerry Bader Show.
Welcome back to hour number two of the Jerry Bader Program. Send me an email, seth.mila@wsau.com. And by the way, I am Seth. Pleasure to be here. Thank you very much for letting me be with you for the next hour. All right, let me pick on Hillary Clinton a little bit. But you know what? I might actually kind of, sort of, half-heartedly defend a decision. Let's see. Let's play this out. Let's talk it out and see what happens. The New York Post is running an article this morning that says that commercial flights are too burdensome for Hillary Clinton. What they're talking about is in this email dump, this exploration of private conversations or conversations about state business on her private server, we're finding out that in an exchange from May 4th, 2009, between Clinton and Huma Abedin, the former Secretary of State, is trying to figure out how to avoid, quote, the burdensome shuttle flight, commercial airline flight, between New York City and Washington, D.C. Quote from the email, do you think we could get a plane plane for the flight back tonight, meaning not a commercial flight, but an Air Force plane? She wrote this on an email released this week as part of an ongoing Judicial Watch Freedom of Information Act lawsuit against the State Department. It's going to rain all day, she says, and I still don't feel great. So the idea of playing a guessing game with the shuttle is really burdensome to me. What do you think? Could be any time that works for the Air Force. That's how I know she's asking for an Air Force plane. She says it. About an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes later, Abedin replies, yes, of course, looking into it. Around what time do you think? 6 or 7, that would work. Now, the email doesn't say whether or not she actually got a ride on an Air Force plane, but it brings up an old thing that I remember back in the day. Former Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi got into a bit of a situation, if I remember correctly, because she, instead of flying commercial, was hopping aboard an Air Force plane to travel back and forth to her congressional district. And we have a problem with that. And I do too. I don't think military aircraft should be used as shuttle flights for our representatives. I think that is an inappropriate use of military hardware. But I said I might defend her. So let me run this through. Think about this for a second. Hillary Clinton, at the time being Secretary of State, do you think she flew coach? Do you think maybe she sat in the middle of the plane, the middle seat, where some guy who is, he's on vacation, and he is, you know, sitting on the aisle, he's on vacation, he's just visited Washington, D.C., and he's hopping the flight to New York City because he wants to see Times Square. You think she's sitting back there with him where she gets a half a bag of peanuts and a almost warm soda? Yeah, no. Not a chance. If she's going to fly commercial, she's going to fly first class. Okay. As Secretary of State, she doesn't exactly get Secret Service protection, but I do believe she does as former First Lady, doesn't she? So that means Hillary Clinton and her security detail, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm making an assumption here. Secretary of State does not get protection on, you know, that in that circumstance. Obviously, foreign travel, yes. But the former First Lady of the United States does still get Secret Service protection. So her security detail, you think they are the ones sitting in the back of the plane, sitting next to Bubba who's on vacation? No. They're going to be with her, right? So what is the cost? This is where I'm getting to it. What is the cost? Is it less expensive to the American taxpayer to put her in first class and those that are traveling with her in first class, or does it cost less to put her on a military aircraft and hop from one military base to the other? Which is less expensive? Because this is not a Democrat thing. This is a government thing. There is no way you're going to convince me that only the Democrats are the ones hopping aboard military aircraft, and conservatives and the Republicans, well, we are, you know, our nose is clean. We do it the right way all the time. We bull hockey. Look, I can understand the frustration of travel, especially if you're doing this almost every day. If you're bouncing back and forth, you've got business here and you got to be back and forth. I got it. Flying every day or two or three times a week is oh, I know, first world problems. I got it. But it can be a pain. So if you can hop a flight and not have to go through all of that, I can understand the desire to do it. But here's the difference, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this. It's common sense. These are representatives. These are individuals who have chosen to accept the job of public service. They are working for us. And I think this is indicative of, well, I'm just going to do what is convenient for me, and I'm not going to be cognizant. I'm not going to think about what is the most cost-effective for the taxpayer. It's government money. I'll spend it however I feel like. No, that's not your job. That's not what you've been hired to do. You have been hired to think about every aspect of it and look out for our best interest. So even though it may be convenient, I'm sorry, if flying commercial, even though it's burdensome and it's just a bore, sorry, suck it up. That's your job. But I say it with a great big but, if it is a case where it's more cost effective to put her on a military aircraft, fire it up, man. Let's go. Every dollar that we can save is better served than being spent wastefully. All right, we're going to shift gears here. Let's talk about Syria. Do you remember where Syria came into the headlines back in 2013? Remember the civil war breaking out in Syria? President Assad got into a little bit of trouble. President Obama shook his finger at Assad and said, hey, no using chemical weapons on your own people. If you do, I'm drawing this red line in the sand. Don't you cross that red line. And then later we found out, what do you know, 1,400 people were killed with nerve gas. In his own country, he's using nerve gas. Assad is using nerve gas against his own people in the civil war. And if I remember correctly, President Obama reacted with, hang on a second, I know this. Oh, that's right. Nothing. There's that red line. Don't cross that. Oh, you crossed the red line. Well, don't cross this line, because now I'm going to actually have to do something, and I can't because your pal, Vladimir Putin, is giving me the stink eye. And I'm not strong enough to stand up to him, so you just stop it, okay? And that's also where we began getting into trouble, because we decided, all right, let's start backing those that are opposing the Assad regime in Syria. And those individuals, we couldn't tell the players without a handbook of what was going on. Mixed in with the rebels against Assad's government were ISIS fighters. So, okay, do we fund the rebels? Because if we fund the rebels, we're also going to be helping fund ISIS. And I know, even though Barack Obama said that they were the JV team, kind of turned out to be a bad situation. All of that could have been avoided had earlier on in his presidency he'd be a little bit stronger with his foreign policy than the apology tour that started the whole thing off. Anyway, I digress. Well, why do I bring Assad back up? Clearly, I mean, surely after all this mess, the United Nations and the world again wagged their finger at Assad and said, you can't have chemical weapons. You can't do that. Huh. Foreign Policy Report details discoveries of chemical warfare like sarin and XV gas at several locations, including two on the outskirts of Damascus, according to a 75-page review by the Director General of the Organization of the Prohibition of Chemical Weapons. The report describes the findings as troubling pattern of incomplete and inaccurate Syrian disclosures over the past 3 years. In other words, Assad has continued to have, stockpile, manufacture his chemical weapons. And why do you make chemical weapons? So you can use them in war. The study says the majority of the 122 samples from multiple locations in Syria indicate potentially undeclared chemical weapons-related activities. Went on to say that the Syrian government's explanation of the discoveries, quote, are not scientifically or technically plausible. In other words, the explanation that the Assad government is putting out there is like, what? That makes no sense. You can't do that's dumb. And yet, there it is. More chemical weapons from Assad. And exactly what are we going to do about it? Oh, that's right. Nothing. So now we're looking at a situation where we're about to have a change of leadership. On one side, we have an individual who, well, let's be honest, he doesn't have a lot of experience in dealing with foreign policy and foreign world leaders in a conflict situation, you know, developing real estate, perhaps, that kind of thing. Yes, but in conflict, no. But he is an individual that has clearly set up a policy of surrounding himself with people who do know and listening to them and making a decision. On the flip side of that coin, we have an individual who apparently has made it a policy of theirs for quite some time now to give special treatment to individuals based on how much money they donate to their charity. I think I'm willing to take the risk on the individual who has less experience dealing with foreign policy, but has at least demonstrated they're willing to be honest and forthright, not conniving and weaselly, and let's just face it, dishonest and corrupt. I'm Seth Mila, sitting in for Jerry Bader. Send me an email, seth.mila@wsau.com. When we come back, we'll take a look at some of the emails I've gotten, and we will continue with this wonderful program. Be right back.
The Jerry Bader Show.